Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hello, you're listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson.
And your couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews.
It's the new year.
It's the new year, 2019.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about how to set relationship goals that cannot fail.
Everybody sets goals. Actually, are you more of a resolution person or are you a goal person, or do you distinguish between the two of them?
I probably don't distinguish, but I've got lots of room for improvement. It's kind of how I look at it every year.
Yeah. Yeah. So you actually set like resolutions or goals for the year?
Or? You know, yeah. My husband and I, we often do a new year kind of look at various areas of our life, everything mm-hmm. from our personal relationship to our finances to our health to, you know, all the different things that we want to achieve over the next year and kind of map it out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that you end up achieving most of those?
I think it sets a direction for us. You know, sometimes we're more effective than other times. But for me, it's a good review, right? And a good discussion about where we're at, what we need to do.
Yeah, I think we do the same thing. To me, it's a little more of setting an intention, right? Mm-hmm. Just trying to be focused on something that we want to be different. Resolutions, or whether you call them resolutions or goals, I prefer goals, but whether you call them resolutions or goals, the problem with those is that like 97% of those fail. And that's not a made up number just now. That's actual like research backed data that says mm-hmm. that the vast, vast majority of resolutions that we set at the new year, they fail. They don't
resolutions
work.
Resolutions are dead by the January 30th.
Yeah, they're dead. I think even sooner than that. I think the research says it's like they're done with within 2 weeks, and people don't pick them up again after that. And so they're very short-lived, and they have a problem. But we are fans of setting goals for your relationship as well, because that's something that most people don't do, is they don't set goals for their relationship.
Right.
What are your thoughts about why people don't set goals for their relationship?
I think that's more esoteric, right? And our finances, our health are more concrete types of things that people are thinking about. They don't necessarily think about the coupleship. Yeah. What's our goal for this year or for, you know, our next step? And I think we think it should take care of itself.
Yeah, because we think of things that need to improve in our relationship as really abstract things like communication. That's the classic one, right?
Right.
Everybody wants
to have better communication.
And nobody knows exactly what that means, but everybody wants it. We know we need to communicate better, or we need to be more connected.
Sure.
We want to love each other better, or whatever it is, and there's not any of these kind of concrete things that we actually want to improve. We don't know how to measure that, right? How do you measure whether you're more connected in a relationship? I mean, I think those are
more
hard
sex
questions. More sex. But isn't that more concrete, though? That's measurable.
That's measurable.
Yeah. I can track how much sex we're having.
Right.
And I do in my planner.
Adam.
You're freaking me out.
Okay.
But I think everybody wants things that they want to change or be better in their relationship, right? I did have a couple one time that said there was nothing that they wanted to be different in their relationship.
They just wanted to pay for therapy.
I guess. I don't know. That was kind of weird. But have you ever met a couple that's just like everything's good? We don't need to change anything. Like even like friendships, not just clients.
Yeah, I certainly have met people outside of the therapeutic room who, you know, say everything's great, right? The Facebook skim. You know, especially this time of year, everybody else looks so happy.
Everybody's Christmas card put together.
Exactly. I think that in the therapy room, I have goals for couples, and there's a generic goal, which is the first thing is, you know, couples have this push-pull, the pursuer, distancer dynamic often. And so I want them to identify it. I want them to feel themselves in it. So in the room, we talk about it. Okay, it's right here.
Yeah.
And then my first goal is for them outside of the room, for them to say, oh yeah, I'm doing that thing. And then the next thing I want them to do is to identify their part. Yeah, I'm the pursuer, I'm the distancer. And to know their options.
Right.
Like, if I'm a pursuer, which is a push, and it's not working, mm-hmm. right? I push and push and push, and things don't change. They don't get better. Right. So do you know an alternative? And pursuers often say, you're just saying I shouldn't do anything and I'll never get my needs met. I'm like, no, I'm saying you need to stop being critical. You need to contain your anxiety and make direct requests.
Yeah.
And then the distancing partner, you know, they often say, you know, my partner's out of control. They're always angry with me. They're always critical. I'm not doing anything. I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm innocent.
Yeah. So those are your goals. Those are your goals for your couples when they're in therapy. Right.
Exactly. And I want the distancing partner to see that they're actually pulling, that their lack of doing things sometimes is what's so frustrating and anxiety producing in their partner. So they need to nurture and come toward their partner with initiation.
Yeah, I think those are all good goals. I think I want, overall, for my couples, I want them to have better goals in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I want them to be able
concrete, specific, measurable
action, things that they can actually take action on, and then to have goals for themselves that they can have realistic expectations for those goals so that they can see progress happening. I think that's one of the problems with why resolutions and goals fail is because when they're not happening the way that we want them to happen.
Right.
And so that we get hopeless and we give up on them.
Uh-huh.
Right. I think it's crucial that you be able to see the progress that you're making and have a reasonable expectation for what that's going to change, right? If we compare, like, if we did that with, like, weight loss, right? If we set weight loss goals for ourselves and we use we expect that we're going to be, like, on one of those weight loss TV shows where we're going to lose 30 pounds in 1 week, then we're going to get hopeless and we're going to give up really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. But if the goal is more something like I'm going to go to the gym every day.
Right. Something like, that I can do.
Or I'm going to go 4 times a week or something like that.
I like that. Weight loss is a hopeless goal, right? Because you can't lose weight. You can change the way you eat. You can change the way you exercise. Those are tangible things, doable things.
Yes.
You can't change a number on a scale. I mean, the doable things eventually maybe change the number on the scale, but
yeah, it's an indirect result. It's not a direct result of what we're doing.
Well, and I like that because then you can, you know, ask the couple every week, you know, did you do the next step?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you take that one step that you were supposed to take that day? And we don't recognize that Jerry Seinfeld has this thing about don't break the chain. Have you heard about this?
No.
Where it's like you do the next step every single day and you don't break, you cross it off for that day. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, you don't. Yes, I have heard of this theory, like in terms of behavioral change, you make a concrete commitment no matter what, you do the thing you're committed to and you just don't stop. And then eventually, like that, all those successful days behind you make it more likely that you're going to be successful that day.
Absolutely.
Right.
So like I know you're writing your dissertation, right? And doing all that fun stuff that you're involved in.
Yes,
right? So,
I am.
So even something like that, like if even if you're only able to do 15 minutes a day, those 15 minutes, if you're conscious enough to be able to do those 15 minutes every single day, don't break the chain, eventually those small steps add up to
the
big change, which actually gets it done. And that's what I think when we talk about relationship goals, like these things, when we're able to set good goals and able to move them forward, like we've been talking about, eventually leads to bigger relationship change and relationships that we want. But we don't think about it like that, I don't think, because we don't think of relationship goals the same way we think about other goals. And oftentimes, I think they just go unspoken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we all have things we want to change, we just keep them in our head rather than speaking them out loud, or we try to make them happen ourselves when relationship is two people, and we don't talk about what we actually want to be different. And so those things just stay unspoken and stay unsaid, which is one of the chief reasons that other resolutions fail when you don't talk about them with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. There's
accountability,
That makes us more likely to do it. Absolutely.
But overall, I think it is just, because we're going to come back in the second part and kind of talk about some ways to set better goals and to kind of do that, goals that aren't going to fail. But overall, to me, it's just the thing that we focus on grows, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's at work or in our personal relationships, and definitely in our committed relationships, that when we focus on it and set some intentions, that that's the thing that's going to actually grow and be better.
You know, I love that you're saying this concrete pattern of, you know, don't break the chain, don't stop doing it every single day, because those little changes, you're right, make a huge difference over time. Just a little aside, you know, not the most organized housekeeper. But one of the things that we had decided at one point was every time you go up and down the stairs, you need to take one item. So if you take one item, and, you know, we figure we go up and down the stairs, right, like 8 times a day easily. So if you take one upstairs item that doesn't belong there and bring it downstairs, maybe you're taking your water glass, and then when you're downstairs, you take one item upstairs. I mean, it was so incredible, Adam.
Yeah.
Our whole house was like magically cleaned up. This is when the kids were little.
Yeah.
It was magic.
That's awesome.
And if the kids came downstairs without an item, I'd say, oh, you don't have an item, go upstairs. And pretty soon there was like no item to bring up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, if there's no item, then before you come down the stairs, look in the room that you're at. Is there anything that you can do to help make it better, to straighten it?
Do one thing.
Do one tiny thing. And it was like, boom.
That's awesome.
Our house was uber organized. It was really a cool thing.
That's
and the
awesome.
Other one thing a day that I do every single day is I try to offer an appreciation for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
About what he's doing, how he's contributing to the family, but also about his body, because he's so hot. I mean, it's really easy. But every single day I say something like, you know, how attractive I find him.
That's so good.
And it's not, I mean, it's just, it's almost instinctual, but I decided that long ago.
Yeah. I think the thing that we do every day is the hello and goodbye well.
Uh-huh.
Like that we making sure that, I mean, do it with my wife, but then also do it with the kids when I leave them, is that, and when we come home, that's the first thing that happens. You know, Rebecca gets the first, you know, of all
kiss.
Of first kiss and of all that when leaving and coming, but the kids do as well. And like, I think that that adds up over time as
it
well.
It does.
Right?
It does. It creates a atmosphere of warmth, a family of warmth. Okay.
Well, let's come back and talk about how to set those goals in a great way.
Okay. So, hey, everybody, we have a favor to ask of you, and we want to know you better. We'd love to know a little bit about who's listening, where you come from, what age you are, what gender you are. And so we have a link in the show notes, which is on foreplayrst.com. In the show notes, we're going to give you just a micro quiz, just a few questions. If you would answer that for us, it would be so helpful for us to get a better direction about who we're speaking to. And we know that not all of you will do this, but if you would, foreplayrst.com is where you go in the show notes, link there, and just tell us a little bit about you. We would greatly appreciate that kind of feedback.
And we're so thankful for each one of you. This will give us a way just to continue to make the podcast better, to address some topics that you really want to address. Please do that for us. We'd be so grateful that you did that.
So we're back, Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, and we are talking about goals, relationship goals. I got to say it Adam's way.
Relationship instead of resolutions. You like that better?
No. I mean, either.
Either.
You're right.
Either
interchangeable.
One. Interchangeable. So we have some things that we think would help set those goals better, because I think when we set good goals, then we give them the best chance that they are not going to fail. And the first tip is defeating perfectionism, the perfectionist aspect of goals, through acceptance of our relationship. I think, Lori, too often our goals are really perfectionistic goals.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to be absolutely perfect. We're going to never fail at this. It's going to, once we start doing these goals, everything's going to turn around. Once we start exercising, the weight is just going to melt off. I set last year what was probably too perfectionistic a goal. I set my goal last year was I was going to read 100 books in
mm-hmm.
a year.
Yeah.
And I think if I hold too tight to that, I'll end up reading somewhere in the neighborhood of 60, 65 books.
That's fantastic.
This year. I know. And that's what I have to keep telling myself, because what I hear all the time, that perfectionistic voice says,
in your head.
Yeah, in my head says,
I failed.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't
perfect.
I read
60 books. I failed.
That's right.
Oh my
that's
gosh.
Right. Like, uh-huh. things like that, that we just get really perfectionistic about. Like, if we start working on our sex life with our partner, we say we're going to have more sex, and then a month goes by and nothing's changed, or maybe one thing has changed, and we look at it and go, but it wasn't perfect. It wasn't exactly like we wanted it to. We didn't have sex every day, right? We only had sex 3 times a week. That would make us discouraged and drive the hopelessness. So to me, and you tell me what you think about this, but I think that one of the key ways to defeat that perfectionism is through just acceptance of whatever is happening, whether it's what's happening currently or whatever it is, the steps that you have to take or the steps that you do take, if that makes
sense.
So
we need to set the direction and look at the progress, mm-hmm. not necessarily, it's a fail. I mean, if we make improvement, then that's a good thing. Then yeah. we've met our goal, even though we may say, you know, this particular number is our goal. But, you know, if we get close to that, that's a win.
Yeah. I mean, I think something is better than nothing, right?
60 is way better than
60 is way
zero.
Better than zero, right? But I think that we don't often just accept where things are today. Mm-hmm. We fight against that. We either get frustrated about where it's been in the past or where we want it to go in the future. And so we never get to enjoy it. So being able to accept it, I think, means, well, I can make a step today, right? Mm-hmm. It makes that a lot easier when I can just say, whatever's happening today, whatever's going on, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, I can accept it. It doesn't mean that things may not need to improve, right? It means I still may want it to improve, but I can accept where it is.
Yeah.
And accept the good and with the bad at the same time.
Okay, so I have a couple goals for everybody out there.
All right.
I have a new app on my phone that tells me how many hours a day I'm looking at my phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the updates on, if you've got an iPhone, those
3 hours.
Are telling you. 3 hours
a day.
Oh, my goal needs to be more your what
I am
that.
Suddenly have time to do my doctorate, to do my dissertation. I'm like, 3 hours a day. So my husband and I have done something. We're doing like phoneless weekends.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where we just put the phone down. Don't look at it. I mean, it's even tempting, right? You go out to coffee and then you'll think, oh, I need to Google something. You know, I need to know this information right away. And then pretty soon, you know, all the emails pop up, the text mails pop up, and, you know, you're in your phone. Mm. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So to me, and I'm like basically off most of social media. We do have Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. And I do tweet a little bit. But overall, for my personal self, I'm not reading my Twitter feed and that kind of stuff, or
that's
my
awesome.
Facebook feed. Yeah, because it's just, it's a wasteland in terms of time. And that has given us so much more time. Mm-hmm. It's been wonderful.
Well, that's great. Yeah. My goal needs to be more your goals. Mine is currently sitting at 5 hours.
Is it really?
A day, yes. That's a lot.
And that's my phone. I think, you know, I have other screens too, right? I watch a little television. I'm on my computer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not accounting for any of that time. It's just the phone.
But if you put 20 of that 3 hours that you're on your phone toward your husband, like even just 20 minutes is going to make a huge difference.
Huge difference.
So the second tip about how to set goals that are not going to fail is to focus some goals on what you need to improve in the relationship rather than on what your partner needs to do differently.
Right. Do you know who you are, how you function, and what is your own goal?
Yeah, because those goals, even if you, for some reason, y'all don't agree on the goals that need to happen and need to change, by setting goals for yourself about what you want to do different in the relationship, how you want to be better at whatever your part is, that becomes way more in your control.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when we think about things we want to change in our relationship, we often default to things that we want our partner to do differently, and exclude ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. We want them to pursue us more. We want them to be more emotionally available. We want them to initiate sex more, help around the house more, whatever it is.
We always know what we want them to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Always. So easy to see their faults. Okay, so let me give a concrete example for a pursuer.
Okay.
So one of the problems when you're anxious about the relationship, the state of the relationship, is oftentimes that anxiety is pretty pervasive. It happens all week long. And you often want to bring up your concerns frequently. Mm-hmm. So what I say is write them down and collect them in one place. Do not, on a random basis, ask your partner for change, offer criticism, or say the things that you feel are wrong. Collect them all, write them all down, mm-hmm. and then have a designated time to say, we need a relationship debrief. And it has to be time limited. And this is frustrating for pursuers mm-hmm. because they're like, but I have so much to say. 1 hour.
Yeah.
You get 1 hour and you can talk about it. And that hour has to be divided with your partner so they can bring up their concerns or at least talk about their perspective on these concerns.
Yeah.
So collect it all as a pursuer. And that way your whole week is not disrupted by all the things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, you can live, you can enjoy some time together where it's not this constant critique. Okay, distancers. Once a day, I want you to move toward your partner in a concrete way, which is offer appreciation, say, hey, how can I help you today? Touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever their primary love language is, do one of those things each day.
Mm-hmm.
So your move is to come towards your partner with attention, and the pursuer's move is to contain all their criticisms and anxieties into one place, one notebook, and set one designated time to do it. That alone will change the climate of your house,
household.
Yeah.
That's a good goal, for sure. Next tip to talk about how you can set better goals for your relationship is to make sure that your partner is in agreement with your goals for the relationship. So this is when we talked about that they're not, that oftentimes our goals are not spoken, mm-hmm. that they go unspoken, is to make sure that they, this is just very basic, making sure that you actually speak them out loud.
So come to an agreement about your couple goal.
Yeah, uh-huh. absolutely. And so that's the thing that you were talking about that you and Derek do when you're assessing what you want to improve or that's just that is that conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the accountability piece. That's making sure like that you're in it together. It's more team oriented. It brings you together as a team and just saying like, this is what we want to do together. This is where we want to be. But I think that requires a lot of like give and take, right? Allowing mm-hmm. your partner to influence what your goals are as well, because they may be different in what you want, right? So basically talking about them as well.
And highly functional people can do this.
Yeah.
People who are more distressed in their relationship have a hard time finding something in common to agree on. I mean, okay, if you cannot make a relationship goal that is in common, this is my goal for you. Get into therapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that says that your relationship is too stressed to really be a working partnership.
Yeah.
You need help.
Yeah, I agree. But I think there is there's one tip that I could give about if you're struggling to do that, default to the lowest common denominator. Whatever that is, whoever that has the kind of the lowest common thing that you can grab a hold of, right? Maybe it's you both want to have more sex, but you disagree about how much is enough,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You just default to the lowest common denominator and start there mm-hmm. and see where it goes. And being able to get on board with that, I think that's one of the things that as a rule in our relationship is just lowest common denominator wins.
Right.
And it makes things so much clearer.
I have a couple who, I mean, they both want more sex.
Mm-hmm.
They're having sex maybe once a quarter. And they both want sex like minimally weekly, both of them. I think either one of them would like sex at least two, and then I think the other one wants it like three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having sex once a quarter. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, let's get once a week on the books.
Yeah.
You know, can we do that?
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of things they've hung themselves up on in terms of initiation and this, that, and the other thing. And is it going to be good? I mean, it's just weighted down.
Yeah.
But the good news is they both want it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the lowest common denominator. Is that they both want it.
You both want it.
Okay, so we have a couple of tips for setting these goals that are just don'ts, right? That you don't need to do. One is don't set your relationship goals based on your friends and family's relationships. Don't compare them to that. I think a lot of times we set goals based on what we see other people doing mm-hmm. rather than on what we need or what we want. And that to me is just destructive. Comparison is the thief of joy all the time.
Yeah.
And we have
Facebook to compare to.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The beautiful holiday postcard Facebook that it looks like all our friends mm-hmm. are so much happier.
Yeah.
Like, don't compare to that.
That's
crazy.
I mean,
false self that's being presented, everybody.
That is exactly right. And it's all, I mean, you have to have some space from that, right? So don't go into those relationship goals conversations right after you jump off of social media and into those relationship goal conversations. You know, don't come back from your holiday parties and start having these conversations after you're seeing everybody laughing and joking together and go, well, they seem way better than us, right? You don't know what's going on behind
those
doors and those closed doors and those relationships. So set it based on what you need, what you want, rather than in comparison to that. I'd also say don't use the goal as whether or not you reach the goal as a decision point for whether your relationship is going to be all right or not. I find a lot of people doing that as well, that they say, well, if we're not at this place by this point in time, then our relationship is done or it's over, or my partner must not care about me if this goal isn't met. And so I'd say, like, make sure that you're not tying that goal to a make or break point for your for your relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's dangerous. And then the last one, make sure to just reassess it on a regular basis. We set goals all the time that are that change. We change over time. We change over as the year goes on. Circumstances change that keep us from that are
like
reasonable.
Like knee surgeries.
Yeah.
Adam had knee surgery this year, and so his goals for working out, I'm sure, were somewhat delayed there.
Oh, they were, absolutely. Right. Well, my running goals were delayed because I can't run for a year. But as those things changed, I mean, that's a good example of goals had to be reassessed. Like, this is unforeseen circumstances. There's nothing we can do about it, but it's going to affect where our goals are. And I think relationships happen. That loss happens over time. Job loss, people pass away, illnesses, and it moves.
Life gets in the way.
Life gets in the way of those sometimes.
And be tender with yourself when that happens. You know, don't feel like a failure. Absolutely.
All right.
Accept that.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
good luck.
Happy New Year to everybody. We wish you a life with more love, more sex, more intimacy. You're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and your couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4PLAY. That's 833-4-PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.